Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. Normally, I'm excited to be back on these Blog Talk Radio airwaves. And don't get me wrong, I'm still happy to be here with you. And I'm so grateful and thankful that you were listening to the return episode after a week off of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. But, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, this has been a pretty... If you go back and you look at the grand scheme of this week in Memphis Grizzlies basketball, and you see the highest elation of highs that came with the Cleveland Cavaliers victory just 72 hours ago, as of this recording, 72, 96, something like that. I didn't major in math. You go from there, and you're here. 96 hours, ladies and gentlemen, from the peak of ecstasy, beating LeBron James at his place when he was trying, to now, where you are without a point guard, you are without Mario Chalmers, the one guy who has consistently been one of the better players on the Memphis Grizzlies all season long, a guy who has played his tail off, who has picked this team up from the depths of despair, from injury hell, and now he has been waived because of his Achilles ruptured tendon. And the team wasn't wrong to do that. Mario's still getting paid. Don't weep for Mario. Mario's still getting his money. There's a chance he might come back to Memphis on a contract. Because now, his big money, his signing is gone. It's gone. And I feel terrible for the guy because he earned it playing in Memphis this season. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and I am fired up. Because this is just a kick in the pants. It really is. And I'll bring Matt Bishop in, our guest this evening, filling in for Chris Faulkner in more ways than one. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. But Matty B, former producer of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, I got to tell you, man, this is just a straight kick. I said pants before. I know we're a family friendly show, but I feel like I got kicked in the nuts right now.
You know, I sat down this afternoon and I said, you know what? What if I did like a top 10 list of the worst things that have happened this season? And it's bad when losing to Golden State by 30 is not even top five. It's really kind of where we are.
And you feel terrible for Mario Chalmers because of the injury. And again, I am not faulting the Memphis Grizzlies for the move that they have made. That was the smart roster move. They need as many bodies as possible at this point. You free up a space by waiving Mario Chalmers. He's still getting his money, folks. Don't worry about that. It's not like he loses anything in terms of finances. He's no longer with the team, unfortunately. But after the Achilles tendon injury, he has to focus on rehab. He probably wouldn't have been around that much anyway. And you can bring him back potentially in free agency. So this may not be the end of Mario in Memphis. And to be honest with you, you look at Mike Conley, the other point guard who is out with injury, it may not be a bad idea to bring back, you know, Mario Chalmers at a discount if he's able to recover from the Achilles injury, which is obviously a big if. We wish Mario Chalmers nothing but the best. And if you can't tell, this is going to be a bit of a frustrating episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm going to try to keep the energy up and the excitement up. And I'm still slightly optimistic about this season somehow. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Maybe I'm just finally going off of the deep end in my third or fourth year here with Grizzly Bear Blues. Certainly possible. But anyway, here's how you can get in touch with the show. You can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. Please, by all means, interact with the program there. I man the Twitter account, happy to talk with you if you have a question about anything for myself or any of the guests, at GBB Live, and you're also going to want to make sure you're following that Twitter account because we have a major announcement involving our new sponsor, TickIQ, that we will talk about later on in the show. So at GBB Live, make sure you are checking that out. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax, the host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, also I write some words for grizzlybearblues.com. And Maddie B., Matt Bishop, our wonderful former producer of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, who joins me tonight in the Grizzly Bear News segment. He is also currently playing the role of managing editor over at grizzlybearblues.com, at least keeping the seat warm for Chris Faulkner as he goes through some work-related things himself. So Matt Bishop has been tremendous for us the past few weeks, and I'm excited to have him back on the show. You can also interact with us in the chat room. Our chat room is open. If you are listening to the live broadcast, you can log into the chat, talk with other Grizzlies fans. Again, ask me a question. Ask any of our guests a question this evening. Here in the first segment, we will be talking about, of course, as we just kind of blasted into the news before we went on the air, of Mario Chalmers not only being out for the rest of the regular season, but also being waived by the Memphis Grizzlies due to that ruptured Achilles injury that he suffered against the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about that, of course. We'll talk about Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, two of our best over at GBB. Matt Ardlicka and Andrew Ford broke down those two pretty well this week, I would say, so we'll talk about them as well. And again, I just can't get over 96 hours ago how excited we all were looking, or 72. Golly day. Somebody help me out with my math here. 72, if it's Thursday, Monday. Yeah, 72. Going to 72 hours ago, and the excitement and the elation that we were all feeling about the Hateful Eight, as they were dubbed, going into Cleveland, arguably the eight worst players on the roster outside of Mario Chalmers. I would remove him from that. I'd say he was one of the best this season. And these guys go in and they beat Cleveland. They beat the Cavaliers, Kyrie and LeBron. So it has been a roller coaster ride this week for the Grizzlies. We'll talk about that with Matty B in the first segment. In the second segment, Isaac Simpson, the host of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo Sports, 7:30 a.m. in Memphis. He'll join me. He'll return to the show. We'll talk about the Goon Squad. We're going to try to be as positive in that segment as possible, because I'm going to relive that Cleveland win, damn it. That might be the best of times for us the rest of this season. That might have been our big-time feel-good moment heading into the rest of these games. So we're going to talk about and try to be positive. Obviously, Mario's injury definitely puts a negative spin on everything. But we'll talk about Lance Stephenson as well, and we'll talk about some end-of-the-season thoughts. Then in the final segment, I'll be joined by John Roser of 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis' pregame show, as well as the Chris Vernon show on 92.9. Roser is a great guest. Enjoy having him on, and we're excited to have him back on the program. We're going to talk to him about Jermichael Green. I'm excited to make a declaration about Jermichael that might blow some folks' minds, especially Mr. Jeff Calkins. I had the privilege of being on his show not this past episode today, but the week before, and he called me out for my Jeff Green love, so I have a bold proclamation to make tonight regarding Jermichael Green. We'll talk about Conley and Gasol a little bit more, and then we'll preview the week ahead. And these three games coming up just got a lot more interesting with the Chalmers news that most of us were expecting, but it still really, really is a kick in the pants. It's just going to be tough. So we're going to have John Roser on in the final segment. As I said, we're going to have Isaac Simpson on in the second segment, but first, it is Grizzly Bear News with Mr. Matty B. And Matty, as I said, you've done a fantastic job helping hold down the fort while Mr. Faulkner is away, and you've posted some good stuff this week talking about, you know, especially today, the Chalmers news, and then, of course, what this means for the roster. They have a couple of guys on the radar in terms of D-League and who they may sign to try to fill out this thing heading forward. But obviously the Chalmers injury is just the latest in a rash the past, you know, 72, 96 hours. Mike Conley, Chris Anderson, Zach Randolph, Matt Barnes just had the night off. He played against Boston. But the Grizzlies are the definition of the walking wounded right now.
I mean, it's almost ridiculous on like a large scale kind of thing. I'm starting to wonder, you know, who on this team has upset what basketball deity has gotten upset with us. You know, there's flooding in Memphis right now. I don't know what anybody has ever done, but it's almost at a completely and utterly ridiculous level of just the injury report. I wrote something kind of briefly on just the injury report for the game against the Cavaliers, the
of the famous Hateful Eight game, and it was it's just growing, and God, before long they're just, you know, you talk about how bad it is for a guy like Chalmers to get hurt and then to get waived, but literally this team just needs bodies at this point, just needs guys. You know, the NBA rule says you have to have eight. And it's touch and go there for a minute if they could actually field eight. You know, we might want to wrap everybody up in bubble wrap before the game on Friday, because it's going to be touch and go until then.
It's absolutely going to be touch and go. And the thing about this roster moving forward is you have guys, and I wrote about Jarrell Martin this week for SB Nation NBA's Rook Week or Rookie Week. And I wrote about how just trying to find a silver lining, because I feel like I'm one of the guys over at GBB. When you need a positive spin on something, I feel like I can be that guy. Like Tayshaun
Prince.
See,
the good thing about that is you jumped ahead of it. You jumped right out ahead of it because he was amazing this week.
I did. I looked, you know, when you're right, you're right. And when you're wrong, you're wrong. And I might be wrong more than I'm right, or at least that's the way it feels sometimes. But, you know, I did okay with Jarrell. He looked very good against Boston. That is a silver lining. And that's one of the positives here. Without these injuries, you don't have the further confirmation that Jamichael Green not only should be a Memphis Grizzly moving forward, but he's a guy who could be a legitimate long-term play here in Memphis. He's under contract through next year at an amazing price, so he certainly will be here. You could argue he's the third most valuable contract on the roster because of how low that cap hit is as the cap rises. You're getting, at the worst, a fourth rotation big on a very good playoff team. And that's at worst. He might be the third best big on a playoff team at this point. And at this point, in where we are currently residing, he might be the best big on the playoff team.
He might be the third best player on the team, much less.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is not ideal. No offense to Jamichael, but that is not an ideal situation. So anyway, Jamichael Green, you don't get this experience with him without these injuries. And Jarrell Martin, I think we can all agree, through the process that has been Dave Yeager's treatment of rookies, he wouldn't have gotten nearly as many minutes as he has the past couple of weeks without these injuries. So there is positivity to be had in the fact that you're finally getting to see some of these younger guys. And again, Jamichael Green isn't that young. Lance Stephenson is younger than him. But these guys who maybe haven't gotten as much playing time with Memphis, you're finally getting a chance to see them get some run. And they're not playing half bad, so at least you feel a little bit better about your future if you could ever get freaking healthy.
Yeah, you know, if you wanted to look for silver linings, that was definitely one, because Jamichael Green has been just awesome. Even on Sunday, in that awful game against Phoenix, he was literally the only guy who showed up and played really well, has a lot of energy all the time. You know, a double-double against Phoenix when you're not even starting and you're literally playing, you're playing minutes behind, you know, human traffic cone Ryan Hollins. I mean, you're really trying to, you know, show effort and show the ability that when you're in the game, you're going to make an impact, and he has definitely done that. And what Jarrell Martin did last night was just fantastic, just to go out there and take on some other bigs. I mean, Boston has a formidable front court. If you're just talking about size wise, maybe not super talent wise, but size wise, with Jared Sullivan and Amir Johnson, those guys are, you know, those are big guys. And Jarrell pushed everybody around last night and showed some talent. And we tend to forget that amongst the depression that happened last night. But he was really good last night. So that's kind of your silver lining kind of going forward. You know, this would also be, you know, the opportunity to say that, you know, they've had some young guys that have, you know, parted ways with the team and this year that maybe might have been helpful in this situation or maybe not. I tend to lean with teams when it comes to decisions like that because they know probably more than we do. Most of the time, if you have a young guy who gets cut from a team, it's probably less about basketball and more about something else, but who actually knows? But this would also be a really good place if Jordan Adams were still kind of, you know, healthy and able to play right now. This would be a place where he could possibly kind of show his wares as well. And unfortunately, it looks like we're going to have to wait for that too.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. The voice that you heard before mine was that of Matt Bishop, Mr. Matty B himself. former producer over here at Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He is a contributor for Grizzly Bear Blues, and he has been helping out tremendously with running the site for Mr. Faulkner as he has been away busy the past couple of weeks. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already do so, at the amazing Matty B. Now, Matty B, the damnedest thing about this entire process, and I think I saw Jonathan May, JMay11, on Twitter of Three Shades of Blue tweet this out a moment ago, and I agree with him completely. This is the strangest season, and I have not, and I've said this before, full disclosure, I jumped on the Grizzlies bandwagon 2010, 2011. That's when my wife, girlfriend at the time, and I decided to move to Memphis. I started looking for something to latch on to, something to identify with. It was during that amazing playoff run and, you know, the flooding, which Memphis, unfortunately, right now is dealing with, not maybe not quite as bad, but a similar situation in terms of weather. But it was during that stretch. It was during the amazing playoff Super Zeebo moments, and I got hooked, and that's since I've been a fan, 5 years, 6 years now. You look back at history, and you study, as I did when I became a fan, you look through the teams, you know, the Jason Williamses and the Pau Gasol years and all the way back to when they first moved from Vancouver, and this has to be the strangest season in the history of this franchise. And something that makes it so strange to me, Matty, and I was talking about this earlier on Twitter, the Memphis Grizzlies, this team who looks like they are just completely falling apart through no fault of Dave Yeager, who in my opinion is a dark horse coach of the year candidate, through no part of fault of the players who are playing their tails off from what you can tell, it's because of health problems and health issues. They are currently 5 games in the loss column up on the next closest team to them for the 5 seed. So that means, for example, if the Memphis Grizzlies go 7-11 the rest of this season, which I somehow miraculously think they will, and I'll talk with Isaac a little bit more about that here in a moment. If they go 7-11 somehow the rest of this season, that means that Portland has to go something like 11-6 just to catch them for the 5 seed. This is something that is legitimately insane. This team, that if you look at them, Houston is the 8 seed right now, Dallas is the 7, Portland is the 6, Memphis the 5, and then, of course, Clippers, Thunder, San Antonio, Golden State. Let's be honest with ourselves here, Matty. Go down the Western Conference standings. This team, with all of the injuries, I'm acknowledging that. Are they better than the Utah Jazz right now? I would say no.
Oof.
Right now, are they better than the Utah Jazz?
We saw the Jazz on Friday night. We saw the Jazz on Friday night. I don't know if this team beats the Jazz.
I don't think Denver. Does this team beat a healthy Denver team with Gallinari?
Maybe.
Maybe, depending on
where.
I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic.
Right.
And this is the spot that you find yourself in. You could have an argument, a legitimate one, that this team is not as good as the current 10 seed in the Western Conference, but they are so solidly in the playoffs at this point that it would take them going something like, 1-17 to not make the playoffs. As negative as we are all feeling at the moment, I think rightfully so, you feel bad for Mario, and it's natural human nature to kind of feel a little bit sorry for yourself as a fan of the team. But if you look at the grand scheme of things, this team is still going to make the playoffs. This team is still likely not going to fall below the 6th seed. And because of that, do you tell me how you would approach this, Matty? Do you look at the roster, like a Conley and a Randolph, and you say, listen, y'all ain't touching the court for at least 2 weeks. We're going to try to weather the storm here. We'll bring in some 10-day contract guys. Hopefully you'll be ready to roll, and we can get you 5 or 6 games before the playoffs start. If we fall to the 6th seed, so be it. Is that a possible thing? Because obviously they haven't been fully, you know, you hear rumors about Conley's injury. It sounds like Zach is a little bit closer to coming back than Conley is, but that's all hearsay. You know, some people have sources that are a little bit tighter to the situation and maybe don't feel that way. It's a lot of up in the air. How do you handle the next couple of weeks for Memphis looking at the standings and saying, hey, we're still 5 up on our next closest team?
Well, there's a balance here when you look at the schedule going forward. If you were looking at games that they were actually going to win, they would be in the next 2 weeks because they play San Antonio twice and Golden State twice. And when your hope in those games is that, one, to catch them on an off night, or two, to catch them when they've got everything wrapped up and aren't going for, you know, the all-time, you know, win record in the NBA. That when those are your hopes going into it, it's going to be rather difficult to kind of break through those. So the games that you could actually win will be in the next couple weeks. I'm wondering if they don't look back at this because we – I was on Chris Vernon's show today. They talked to Chris Harrington was on in the third hour, and he talked about the team was looking forward to bringing in some bodies, but they weren't looking forward to bringing into like any kind of like serious veteran guys, like essentially anybody that you ever would have known from an NBA game. They probably won't bring those guys in. It won't be somebody like a Baron Davis who at this point would probably die if he were on an NBA team, or a Jimmer Fredette, or anybody that you actually knew, and it would be somebody that would be more just kind of a placeholder. And I'm wondering what their strategy kind of is kind of going forward. Do they think that this is as good as it's going to get, and if we end up surviving and making the playoffs, then good for us, and we will take our playoff we'll take our playoff run as quick as it may actually be, and kind of, you know, that's kind of the whole thing. Is everybody at this point, does everybody get a pass because of the injuries going forward? And I just, you know, it's just the weirdest, strangest situation. You talked about historically, this season now totally feels like 2008 when Powell got traded. It totally just feels like everything just kind of slides off at this point, and you're not really sure what the direction is kind of going forward. And that's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. I'm joined at this time by former producer of GBB Live, Grizzly Bear Blues contributor, Mr. Matt Bishop, a.k.a. Matty B. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at the amazing Matty B. This is really a situation, Matty, where it's easy to get negative. But as I just outlined in the standings, this is a team that is going to have a pretty epic collapse, which in fairness, it's probably capable of because of these injuries, in order to just miss out on, you know, the sixth seed, much less fall completely out of the playoffs. So it's a good opportunity maybe to rein in expectations a little bit for Memphis Grizzlies fans, because we get excited sometimes. You were a producer on the show. We've had Matt Moore on. We've had national writers and folks come on this program, and they talk about how, you know, Memphis fans have gotten a little bit spoiled. You expect a championship. You expect this team to be in the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals every year, and you fail to look in front of you and see what lies ahead in terms of the only team that has made the playoffs for more consecutive years than the Memphis Grizzlies in the National Basketball Association right now is the San Antonio Spurs. The Memphis Grizzlies are number two. Now, you don't get a ring for that. You don't get a banner for that. And I understand that argument. But at the same time, maybe we can take a step back, appreciate how good Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley have been for this organization, appreciate the run that they have had, even in a down season for them. Most fans would say that this has been a bad basketball season for the Memphis Grizzlies. But most people had them as the sixth seed or worst in the Western Conference. And when even all the hell that this roster has gone through, they're the five seed. Better than expectations. I had them as the five seed, but I was ahead of most. Most people had them six, seven seed, people smarter than me. So they are outperforming expectations, even with everything that's occurred. A career worst season for Marc Gasol, even before his injury. Issues with Mike Conley. Health up and down the roster, major trades at the trade deadline. They're 8-4 since Marc Gasol went out, Matty. I mean, this is something maybe we can, as fans, take a step back, catch our breath, and say, you know what, let's appreciate what we have here. The guys that are hurt or not hurt, the guys that are here and continue carrying on that grit and grind mentality, it's not even necessarily a style of play, it's the fact that you play hard every night. That is what I am going to try to do the rest of this season. Wins and losses are going to come and go. They're not going to beat anybody in the first round if Conley and Randolph aren't 100%. Those two guys will have to be animals to beat the Clippers. So maybe this is a chance for us, Maddie, to step back, kind of smell the roses a little bit, and really appreciate what a special run this organization has had the past 5 years or so. Hello, Maddie? There's Maddie. All right, Maddie, you accidentally dropped, it looked like. All right, so you're back
here,
Maddie.
Did you hear
what I said? All right.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Hang on.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I think you're right about appreciation for the kind of sport. You know, I think that we've gotten spoiled for the last couple years because we've had a team that's been able to contend and to kind of push teams in the playoffs. I mean, if the silver lining behind last year was that, you know, we had guys that had career years and we lost to Golden State, but we were the team that pushed Golden State in the playoffs. And the year before, it felt like with Oklahoma City in 2013, if Zach Randolph doesn't get suspended, who knows what happens in that game seven. And you know, there's been a lot of positivity kind of at the end of the season for the last several seasons. But you know, I'm like you. I appreciate basketball. I appreciate product. I appreciate what's, you know, like what happened in Cleveland. I appreciated what happened that night. You know, there are going to be nights like that where special things are going to happen, and it's fun to be able to sit down there and be able to watch it, because even at the end of the day, it's still basketball and it's still great and it's still sports, and all those things are really great. And you know, there's looking forward to next season. There's guys who are going to be able to take bigger roles looking forward to next season, like you talked about with Jarrell Martin, with Jermichael Green. These guys that are going to be able to help the team move forward. Guys that are playing for contract years, like a Lance Stephenson, who it's really going to get a chance to see if he can earn something going forward to next season. You know, these are things that are going to happen, and like I said, even at the end of the day, it's still basketball, it's still sports, it's still working at the toy store, it's still great.
I agree with that completely. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. That is Maddie B, Mr. Matt Bishop, and I'll get him out of here on this. I said 7-11, all right? They have 18 games left, and I'm putting you on the spot here. This wasn't in our notes or anything like that. And this is a gut feeling thing. I won't hold you to it, I promise. I just want to see...
All right.
And I want you to be honest. If I'm being optimistic,
right,
please call me out on
right
it here.
Right.
I'm saying 7-11. Even with everything that's occurred, that would put them in a spot to likely hold on to the 5 seed, maybe fall to the 6, but that would be it. What about you, Maddie? How do you see them playing these last 18? And again, this is we're not sure who the hell is going to play point guard Friday night against, you know, for wrestling night. So
right,
this is just a gut feeling from you.
Gut feeling, without actually looking at the schedule, I have a feeling that even before this, 7-11 might have been kind of optimistic. And maybe a little closer to 500 than that. If you'd have gone with everybody healthy, if you'd have gone 7-11 during this last stretch, it would have been pretty much a disaster for you. Now, that's like the most positive thing that could happen. I don't even think that 7-11 is really a thing that could actually happen, because the games that you could win are like this weekend. New Orleans would be one. Maybe not Atlanta on the second night of a back-to-back on the road. Maybe not that one. Plus, Atlanta can play some basketball and does some things that we don't defend well against and all that. And it's going to be difficult to say that the most winnable game would be Houston, because, I mean, thank God for a bigger dumpster fire than us is Houston. You know, without looking at the schedule, I can't tell you exactly how many I would say, but I would say less than 7-11, and lucky to hold on to the 5th seed. Definitely, probably not lower than a 6, because there's an awful big difference, and the team that's the 7th seed right now is Dallas, and they have a worse schedule than the Grizzlies do. So kind of looking forward, I'd say less than 7-11, maybe a 6th seed, And then I guess Oklahoma City in 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
I mean,
not
to bust your positivity.
I don't. As I said on Twitter, I think if you argued 5-13, I couldn't argue against you. I just they have a game against the Magic that you would hope they could find a way to win. They've got
a game against Minnesota.
game against Minnesota. There's a couple of winnable games. You know, maybe they find a way to win one of the five or six coming up against the Warriors and the Spurs and the Clippers. Maybe the Clippers is the realistic one. You know, I think they can scratch together between five and seven wins. And I agree that seven is being slightly optimistic at this point. Matty B, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, as always, we're excited to have you back. Welcome back to the show. I wish we could have celebrated your return a little bit more positively, but, you know, we're using up all our positivity on 7-11 projections at this point.
Oh, Joe, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, thank you so much, Matty B. Have a good one, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, once again, that was Matt Bishop, Mr. Matty B himself, doing a great job filling in over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com for Chris Faulkner. He also is a GBB contributor. Read his stuff. Check him out over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Follow him on Twitter at the amazing Matty B. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and we carry on into our next segment. But before we do that, I have a couple of things I want to make sure I say about our wonderful sponsors, TickIQ and Fan Essentials. First up, Fan Essentials. They've been a sponsor for a long, long time now in terms of, you know, the past few shows. Comparing to our growing sponsor list, they're no longer the new kid on the block. FanEssentials.net is a tremendous service. How would you like to get $145 worth of NBA gear for just $35? You can do that over at FanEssentials.net. All you have to do is subscribe and then pick your favorite team. And every month, you get amazing gear sent right to your door. You pick the team, you pick the sizes, they pick the gear for you. It takes a lot of the legwork out of gear selection. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with amazing gear, Memphis Grizzlies gear in particular. In this case, it makes a great gift idea for any sports fan, and prices start at just $14.99. Visit Fan Essentials and get all the great details right now. Once again, that is FanEssentials.net, a great sponsor of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We also have a new sponsor that we're excited to welcome to the program this week, TickIQ, and I'm excited to make an announcement right now. Their first giveaway as being a sponsor of our show is through our program. We will be giving away two tickets to the Memphis Grizzlies home game against the San Antonio Spurs at the end of March. We're really excited about this. We'll be giving away two tickets. I'll explain the details later on in the program how you can get two great tickets to the San Antonio Spurs game against the Memphis Grizzlies at the end of March at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. I've been there plenty of times. It's a great time. If you've never been, it's a great chance to get to go on the pocket or the dime of GB Live and TickIQ. We're excited about our new sponsorship, and we're excited about getting you into the game with the Memphis Grizzlies. My guest at this time, ladies and gentlemen, is the host of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo Sports 7:30 a.m. in Memphis, Tennessee. We're excited to have him back on the program. He does a great job over at Yahoo. He's a great Grizzlies follow at MC Sports Show if you don't already do so. His name is Isaac Simpson. It's been a rough couple of days here, Isaac. It's been rough for Memphis Grizzlies fans.
Yeah, definitely hasn't been a positive, I guess they say, week for the Grizzlies here. In the last few days, I mean, basketball gods definitely hadn't shined on us in the last few months.
It has been, and you, I know, have been a fan of the team longer than I. Like I said, I try to be a good student of Grizzlies. You followed them much longer than I have. Is this indeed the craziest season you've seen with the Memphis Grizzlies since they've arrived in Memphis?
Yeah, I would have to say so, especially coming in with expectations of being a type of team that could compete for a championship, and you see how this season's kind of gone off the rails. It's kind of strange to see. I would definitely rank this as number one on the craziest season since the Grizzlies tenure in Memphis.
Well, let's start off, obviously, with the breaking news. You're writing outlines, you know, 2 days in advance, and then things happen and change the structure of your program. I know you understand that. As the host of your own show. Just your quick thoughts on the Mario Chalmers situation. Obviously, it's terrible for Mario. And I think when the history books are written on this season, it's going to be one of the major stories that a guy like Mario Chalmers can come in, and most, or not most, but a lot of Memphis Grizzlies fans are also Memphis Tigers fans. And Mario Chalmers is one of those guys who, you know, people would talk about if he showed up in Memphis, that he might get booed just walking down the street.
Yeah.
And people were not happy that Mario Chalmers was traded, or at least some people weren't happy. Mario Chalmers came to Memphis in exchange for a fan favorite in Beno Udrih. So they exchanged players there. And Mario Chalmers, I would make the argument, Isaac, has been the most consistent Memphis Grizzly this entire season. And that, the fact that so many people are tweeting out well wishes, the fact that so many people are hoping that he comes back to Memphis, the Grizzlies are going to be able to hold on to his bird rights, and the cap hold will still be on their books, so they'll have first right in negotiation with Chalmers. It's possible he comes back to the Grizzlies. And it's crazy when you look at how this season has played out, and I think this is one of the things that makes it so crazy. This guy who was so hated by so many now is borderline universally loved.
Yeah, definitely a lot of Grizzlies fans with a different tune than when the news first broke that they were making the move to trade Beno Udrih to Miami to bring Mario in. And the guy was really a revelation. I mean, he came in from the first game against OKC. He had a really big game and revving the crowd up. And like you said, I think he definitely been one of the most consistent players this year. I mean, he works hard. He always comes in, and though he's going to give 110%, and he's endeared himself to the fan base on social media and things like that, and he really became a love. It's really tough to see him go down like that, and for them to the front office have to make the move to waive him. I understand the move is tough. I mean, they need that roster spot to try to bring someone in. And by waiving him, I think they're going to get an exemption, but I think by waiving him, they'll be able to open up a spot immediately to bring someone in, I guess, for tomorrow night.
Most assumptions are that will be Bronte Weber, the former BCU standout, who, you know, I really like him as a player. We can talk a little bit more about him in a moment. He's not going to save you, obviously, but I think in terms of bringing in a young D-League player and seeing what the hell they can do, and it's crazy, he might go from playing in the D-League to starting in an NBA basketball game against the New Orleans Pelicans, which is just fascinating. It really is.
Yeah.
This season has been a sight to behold in the way that you like to watch fires or some natural disaster movie. It really has been remarkable how all this has played out. And I think it's important to point out that, again, and I said it at the beginning of the show, the Memphis Grizzlies did what they had to do here. This was the right roster move. It's not like this is costing Mario Chalmers any money. That money was guaranteed. He's getting paid still. It's just freeing up a roster spot so they can do the best that they can to get another body so that they don't have to play 7 and 8 guys. I mean, they have a back-to-back this weekend, Isaac. It's going to be really difficult for them to try to find ways. I mean, obviously, you're going to see a lot of the young guys again, but, you know, Tony Allen is just coming off of a knee injury of his own. You don't want to put him out there for 40 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it's just a tough situation, but as far as Mario is concerned, I'm sure he understands the business side of things. Like you said, he's not losing any money, and I'm sure he understands that they need the roster spot open to try to bring someone in. It's just tough to see it happen like that. Hopefully they can bring him back next year. I would love to see Mario Chalmers continue his career in Grizzlies uniform. But like I said, I really enjoyed watching him his time here. I wasn't one of the ones that was really upset about him coming in. He did hit that shot against the Tigers back in 2008, but, I mean, that's a long time ago. I mean, it's a different situation, and I really enjoy watching Mario. Like I said, he seems like a great guy to cover, and I really like his game, and I think he's definitely the best backup point guard they've had here, maybe outside of Kyle Lowry during his rookie year, since Mike Conley has been here. So I really like Mario. It's tough to see him go down like that, but we must persevere. it's going to be interesting to see if, like we talked about, Bronte Weber coming in as a guy that I remember a little bit from VCU days. Not going to give you a lot on offense. Not an offensive guy. He's a defensive type player, but he's a guy that really has a high motor, and he's going to give you 110% always. I think he kind of fits into the mentality of some of the other guys we have on the roster.
So as we move on from the darkness that is the Chalmers injury, and it really is just a sad state of affairs you feel for Mario, but it's more from an injury standpoint, from a professional standpoint, because he's, like I said, he's getting paid. You don't necessarily feel bad for him, and that way you feel bad for the injury. This is a guy who's going into free agent season. It's rough all around for him, and you do feel bad in that regard. But let's try to lighten the mood here a little bit, Isaac. As I said at the beginning of the program, 96 hours ago, we were all in a euphoric state. 72 hours ago, I keep struggling with my times. But on Monday night, everybody was just enthralled. It was the best win of the season. They go into Cleveland. Tony Allen plays arguably one of, if not the best game that he has played as a Memphis Grizzly, offensively, defensively combined. And they go in, this goon squad, as they like to call themselves, and they beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. How awesome was that? It's so close and yet so far, the positivity of that night.
Yeah, definitely a tale of two games. I mean, if you go back to the Cleveland game, shades of the Oklahoma City all heart green grind game a few years ago was shorthanded. Going into the game, I mean, it was going to be a tough game anyway. I had it circled out as a loss, even if everyone we had was playing. And the news came down that a lot of guys were sitting out. I'm going to be shorthanded, addressed for 8 guys. I was like, this is going to be a blowout. And I didn't get home. I didn't see the first 15 minutes of the game. I was out running some errands, listening on the radio. I was like, okay, they're hanging in there. They got the lead. I was like, okay, it's the first quarter. I was like, but that inevitably the run is going to come at some point. Cleveland's going to break it open. And they kept on. They hung on to halftime. And, I mean, the guys just stayed in. I mean, I think Cleveland didn't get their first lead till late in the fourth quarter when they went up by 1. But just a great game. I mean, Tony Allen coming back from the injury, 26 points. You got 17 points from Mario Chalmers and Michael Green, the big double-double, 16 and 10. Lance Stevenson, 17 points. Vince Carter, 15 points. It was just amazing to see the guys hang together like that and work so hard. I mean, it really fit into the grit and grind, as we call it. I mean, guys just not giving up and next man up mentality. Just like Tony Allen said, it was really exciting to watch, man. And I thought we could build on that. Looked like we could build on that going into the Boston game. Looked good until halftime, until Mario Chalmers went down. And it seemed like Eric kind of went out of guys' sales. I think at some point you have to look and say, how much work can these guys take? I mean, it's just been basketball gods just haven't smiled on us. It's a tough go, man, but we'll see what happens.
We will indeed. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. I'm chatting with good friend of the program, Mr. Isaac Simpson, the host of the Man Cave Sports Show over at Yahoo Sports 7:30 a.m. in Memphis, Tennessee. Make sure you're giving him a follow on Twitter if you do not already do so, at MC Sports Show. So that win was fantastic, Isaac. It really was. The team played hard. They played well. I would say maybe in the first half the Cavaliers didn't try very hard, but they sure as hell did in that second half, and especially in that fourth quarter when they made their run, took the lead back, but it was just a question of want to. You know, Memphis wanted that win more than Cleveland did. Tony Allen wanted that jump ball more than LeBron James did. Lance Stevenson, you can question the foul or regardless. I thought it was funny that Cleveland Cavaliers fans were complaining about a Della Vadova. You know, they fouled Delly. Delly fouls everybody every time he plays.
Yeah,
so that was kind of a hilarious complaint, in my opinion. But anyway, those guys, you know, Lance Stevenson, Tony Allen, just wanted it more. And speaking of Lance Stevenson, Mr. Born Ready, he has been tremendous for the Memphis Grizzlies since he arrived in the Bluff City. I, of course, was a Jeff Green supporter, and I will probably hear it until the day I die. I learned last night, I am not allowed to make Jeff Green jokes for the rest of my life, essentially. But at first, when it was just Lance for Jeff, I was not happy at all. Found out the first-round pick was coming back as well, and I got over it very quickly. But hindsight's 20/20, and the way that Lance is playing and the way that Jeff is playing in Los Angeles, if it was just Lance for Jeff, you could probably argue at this point that that would have been a win right now for the Memphis Grizzlies. He has been that good.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, you look at the numbers, his numbers have been actually slightly better. I know Jeff had a pretty decent game last night offensively, not really defensively. But, yeah, I mean, the thing with Lance is it's always been between the ears. I mean, the talent is no doubt there. I mean, the guy was looked at as being the best high school player in the nation coming out of high school before signing with Cincinnati. I mean, the guy is tremendously talented on both ends of the floor. I mean, he's had some trick-or-treat, as we've said in the past with Tony Allen. I mean, you have to kind of take the good and the bad. He'll make 2 good plays and he'll make a bonehead play. He might make a bad pass, but I think his good outweighs the bad. And I think he's a guy that, I mean, like I said, he's extremely talented. He can make plays that no one else on his team has really been able to make. I think he's great one-on-one. He's strong. I like the way he goes to the basket. He's a good rebounder. He's a good defender. I love what I've seen out of Lance. Like I said, the thing about him is always between the ears. If he has his head screwed on straight, he's a really talented player and a really good asset to the team.
And I think you hit the head on what makes Lance better than Jeff, at least for the Memphis Grizzlies and probably at large when he, as you put it very well, with it between the ears. He's a guy that can defend multiple positions. And in theory,
yeah.
Jeff Green can, but Jeff Green was the king of the hashtag in theory. In theory, Jeff Green is an NBA superstar because of his frame, his build, the supposed skill set. But he has never realized that, and he probably never will at this point in his NBA career. Meanwhile, Lance Stephenson, who is 4 or 5 years Jeff's junior, is a guy, as you put, extremely talented, one of the best high school players in the country coming out. He had one very, very, very good year in Indiana. He's had, you know, 4 or 5 mediocre or worse years from there. So who he is as a basketball player, you know, it's kind of defined, but it's also not as defined as what Jeff was. And he's being given the opportunity in Memphis, probably partially because of the, even before all of the injuries, Gasol got hurt first, but even before, you know, Birdman and Conley and Randolph and now Mario, he was being given a chance to kind of be his own guy on the offensive end, being a creator, being a facilitator, being somebody who can get to the rim, and then also defensively, a guy who can defend multiple positions, who can play off of switches, who won't be a liability. You know, the few games that Brandon Wright was healthy, you watch those two guys play pick-and-roll defense together, and it was like watching a symphony. It was like listening to Beethoven. It was really that good. It was that satisfying in terms of an art form. And basketball at its highest level is an art form. It's one of the best things about the sport. And I, as a defensive guy from the football side of things, I really appreciate good defensive play on the in a basketball game. And Lance Stephenson has brought that at times for these Grizzlies when it's been desperately needed. And I think that is what really separates him from Jeff.
Yeah, definitely, because Jeff definitely is a lot to be desired on the offensive end of the floor. There's no doubt about that. At times he seems disinterested. His switchers are just absolutely brutal at times. But, yeah, I mean, Lance is a really good defender. I think that's one of the things that definitely separates him from Jeff Green. And he has a $9 million team option going into the offseason. It's going to be interesting to see. Grizzlies have a lot of questions going into this offseason. But, yeah, I mean, if they think there's a guy that they can keep, like I said, keep his head on straight, I mean, I think he's a guy that can help this team for the rest of this season and into the future.
Yes, absolutely. And that is an interesting question. I'm going to pose that to you here real quick before we move on to your boy, Dave Yeager. when we talk about Lance and you look at that contract, obviously the Grizzlies, you know, what they do with Mario Chalmers now is a little bit even more up in the air after they waive him. They still retain all of his rights and cap holds and all of that jazz. But you look at Lance Stephenson, he has a team option for next season. I believe it's at about $9.4 million.
Yeah.
If Memphis picks that up, they lose the ability after re-signing Mike Conley to what you would imagine would at least be around a $19 or $20 million contract, maybe more, depending on what the market commands. You lose the ability if you bring Lance into the fold with that team option to sign another max player. Now, you can still bring in another guy or two. Maybe you bring back Matt Barnes if you're interested in bringing him back. Mario Chalmers would certainly become more realistic. I don't see him making more than, you know, $5, $6, $7 million now.
No.
Maybe the cap hold of 8. Coming off of the injury, which is terrible for him. But that's just the realistic side of the business here. It's going to be hard to make a move for a Nicola Batum or, you know, if somebody opts out like a Chandler Parsons or DeMar DeRozan. And those names, and, you know, obviously the rumored links to perhaps wanting to sit down with Kevin Durant, as realistic or unrealistic as those things are, that can be debated another time. But even if you think that is realistic, you lose that flexibility with opting in with Lance. Are you starting to think that would be a good idea?
Well, it just depends on, like I said, what happens with those other guys. You know, Memphis is not known to be a free agent magnet. It's kind of hard to get guys to sign a small market. But if it comes down to them not being able to get one of those guys, I think Lance would be a great option. Like you said, a guy that would been with the team about a few months at least. Not had, like I said, a whole half a season, but a guy that knows the system. And I think he could be a guy that you could bring back. And like you said, add maybe a few more other guys onto that and try to add some depth if you can't get one of the bigger guys. But, I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with him being back. Like I said, if they strike out on all the bigger guys that they're trying to bring in.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. I'm joined at this time by good friend of the show, Mr. Isaac Simpson. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at MC Sports Show. He is the host of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo Sports, 7:30 a.m. So, Isaac, you know, as people have been hard on me for my love of Jeff Green, I would say, in fairness to you, people have been hard on you in the past for your, forgive me if you think this is the wrong word, disdain for Coach Dave Yeager in terms of his coaching style or the way that he's approaching the roster. Okay, so I think that's fair. And Dave Yeager, given everything that has been thrown at him this season, in my opinion, Isaac, is a dark horse Coach of the Year candidate. Now, he's not going to get it. You could easily see a Greg Popovich or a Terry Stotts or a Dwayne Casey, you know, one of those guys, you know, very deserving, having better seasons record-wise than Memphis. But I think Dave Yeager should be commended for holding this mess together as well as he has. Do you think this has been the best coaching job he's done since he's been a Grizzlies head coach? And are you still not that high on old Dave?
Well, I have backed off some. I haven't really said anything negative about him in a while. But think about my disdain, as we said, of Dave Yeager. It's rooted in the fact that I think it's very similar to when he first took over the job. I understand his mentality. I understand why you think this, why you think this way. It's tough to win the way the Grizzlies have won in the past in today's NBA. And I think took over the team, like I said, similar to the first season when he took over the team. He wanted to kind of change the philosophy a little bit, try to change it up, put in a new system, try to get up and down more, shoot more threes, you know, stretch four type of thing. And it didn't work then. The team got blown out a lot early in that season. And I think coming into this season, he kind of tried to do a little bit of the same thing. And I think the team struggled with it because obviously this personnel, you're going to have a hard time winning that way with your two bigs being Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. And I think he, again, figured that out. I think that hurt us a little bit early in the season. He decided to start to bring Zach off the bench and things like that. And I just don't think that's going to work with this team. And I think he decided, okay, well, we're going to go back to what we're doing again. And I think they started winning again, as we saw, went on a run, even though the schedule did get easier. But I think that had part to do with it. But Marc Gasol went down, and now you bring in this new cast of characters, and I do give him a lot of credit for being able to hold it together with basically a brand new roster of guys, and definitely not guys that are easy to deal with. I give him a lot of credit for that and holding it together, and I think he's really done a good job of being able to get the most out of these guys and get this team together really, really quickly with a lot of changes and the things he's had to deal with this year. So I'll definitely give him kudos on that, and I backed off a little bit on my thoughts on what was going on earlier, because I think he really has done a good job, especially in the second half of the season.
8-4 since the Marc Gasol injury. You mentioned all of the major moves that have been made. Courtney Lee, Zeph Green no longer being on the roster. You bring in P.J. Harrison, Lance Stephenson, Chris Anderson. This team looks dramatically different even before all of the injuries. And now you're adding in a Briante Weber, supposedly another wing, another big, as you get injury exemptions and you free up the roster spot, releasing Mario Chalmers, or waiving, excuse me, Mario Chalmers. Dave Yeager has a lot of flaws, and I think that it's fair to say that about any coach. You know, Greg Popovich has flaws. Steve Kerr has flaws. Nobody is perfect on this earth. That's just the way things are. But he has done a tremendous job finding ways to get these guys to buy in and allowing these guys to form their own identity. Sometimes as a coach, you can overthink things a little bit. You can try to mix and mold the team perfectly into your image. And it's never going to be that way because there's only one you, and you're in a spot with a very eclectic locker room. I think the best part of this job from Dave Yeager is the fact that he has been able to put this team into a place to where, in a short amount of time, they can rally around each other and they can unite together and they can get behind an idea that is so much different than maybe any of us thought was possible because of the fact of how these mentalities were. I mean, this is legitimately one of the, you know, stereotypically crazy rosters in the entire NBA. And, you know, when they were clicking, you know, Conley and Randolph playing a little bit more, and they were playing very good basketball. I mean, they really were.
Yeah, like I said, I'd definitely give him 100% credit for being able to mold this team and to keep it rolling. I mean, to bring in guys, like you said, with strong personalities, and Lance Stephenson, Birdman, P.J. Harrison, guys that have all had issues in the past, and in such a short time to have this team still winning basketball games, I mean, you have to give the guy a lot of credit. I definitely can't say anything negative about him right now, because, I mean, he's had a tough job this year. I mean, you lose Mark first, and even then, like you said, they make the trades and move two of your main rotation guys out and bring in other guys. You have to try to implement them into this system. I mean, he's done a fantastic job. I mean, quickly. I mean, as soon as they got here, you saw they lost a game in Toronto, but I mean, after that, they come in next couple games and look great, like you said, offensively and defensively. And like I said, that's a credit to Dave Yeager to have this team still playing good basketball. And I like his mentality. I like he said the other day, this is for the Mario Chalmers injury and all some of the things that are going on right now. But he said, we're not looking down at some of the teams below us. We're looking up at the Clippers. And we're still going to try to win every ball game we can. And this, some of the things that happened this year, this team could have folded and said, we'll just go into the offseason and miss the playoffs and go into offseason and get ready to try to prepare for the future. And they're still playing hard. And I really like that they said that. And it's, I'm impressed with him, especially in the second half of the season. There's nothing else I can say. All the credit goes to Yeager, for sure.
Agreed. I'm with you on that. Dave Yeager has done a really good job, and the players have done a good job as well. It's been a really impressive rallying cry kind of thing. And it's something that reminds you, and I said this in my recap of the Cavaliers game, it reminds you why you love this team in the first place. It's not the fact that it's beautiful basketball. It's the fact that the grit and grind, it's a mentality. It's not a style of play. That's a common, in my opinion, misconception. Sure, you go in the mud and you play a little bit in terms of slow it down style and grinding it out. But to me, grit and grind is a mentality that Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, and these other guys brought with them when they arrived, and it's really manifested itself into a culture. And these guys, this island of misfit toys, they bought in, and I think that's important. We're wrapping it up here with Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo Sports, 7:30 a.m. in Memphis, Tennessee. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you do not already do so, at MC Sports Show. And you are listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Isaac, we'll get you out of here on this. I gave my end of the season prediction earlier, and I had this question for you before all the craziness with Mario Chalmers. So I'll ask after you give your prediction if it changed. I'm sure it did. You look at the next 18 games for the Grizzlies, especially the end of the schedule, very, very, very difficult. Two games against the Spurs, two games against the Warriors. You got a game against the Clippers, a game against the Bulls in there. So there's a lot of tough games coming up for these Grizzlies. The next 18, what record do you think the Grizzlies have to hold on to the 5 seed, and is that possible?
Additionally, before all the craziness happened, I predicted 48 wins, and I think I'm going to have to backtrack on that one a little bit after the recent Mario Chalmers injury and Conley going down. We don't know how long he's going to be out. I think, like you said, I think I heard you said earlier, 5-13 or 6-12, I think. The 6-12 would be my prediction now, looking at the schedule and all the things that are in front of us, which that would put us at 44 wins. And that's going to be right on the cusp. I think somewhere between 44 and 46 in order to hold on to the 5th seed. If I had to make a prediction right now, I think I would probably take on Oklahoma City in the first round, which would have been tough anyway. Definitely going to be tough now, but, I mean, you just roll the balls out and play. That's the only thing you can do now. Can't look back now. So the team is what it is, and you just got to keep fighting and say, but I'll pick 6-12, I think, would be my prediction for the rest of the season.
I think that's very fair. I really do. I said 5-13, 7-11 was my peak, but anything between that and 5-13, I certainly wouldn't argue with. I think 6-12 is certainly a fair one. And then we have a question from the chat room here, Isaac, before we get you out of here, from DukeBoy8. Appreciate you chiming in the chat, DukeBoy. The question was, Jarrell Martin, somebody that we've talked about on the site recently, I wrote up an article about Jarrell. He's curious whether or not you think Jarrell Martin's performance on Wednesday night was a fluke, or was it something that he can do on a more consistent basis. Again, this is from Duke Boy. The Grizzlies rarely develop their rookies, and it really upsets me sometimes. You can't develop them if you don't play them. So do you think Jarrell's performance was a fluke, or do you think, given the likely opportunities that he's going to get moving forward, that this is something that we can see from him on a night-in, night-out basis?
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Jarrell Martin pick. I'm sure you know that, as a lot of Grizzly fans weren't. But I like what I've seen out of Jarrell in the minutes that he's been getting. I think he only had 8 points total on his career coming into that game, and then to have 16 points the other night. But I love the effort. I mean, he crashes the boards hard. He plays hard. He gives 100%. And I think we could see more similar performances, especially if he gets the minutes with. At this point, he's going to have to. So, no, I don't think it's a fluke at all. I think the kid has some talent. I think he might be a player going forward. So, yeah, I mean, we haven't developed a lot of our own talent in the past, but hopefully that changes with Jarrell Martin and hopefully Jordan Adams whenever he's able to get back. But, yeah, I really like what I've seen on Jarrell. And hopefully, like I said, he'll be one of the few guys that we drafted ourselves that we developed into a player.
Isaac, thank you so much for the time. As always, my friend, it is much appreciated. Thank you for all that you do over at Yahoo 730, and I look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Thanks, Joe. I always love being on GBB Live.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo Sports, 7:30 a.m. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at MC Sports Show. We carry on with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and before I get to our final guest for this podcast episode, I once again want to give a special shout-out to our sponsors. First up, FanEssentials.net. Wonderful job they do over there with great, great deals. Again, $145 worth of NBA gear for just $35 shipped right to your door. That's the service that is provided by FanEssentials.net. They find the sports gear, the Memphis Grizzlies gear, so you don't have to. All you have to do is subscribe, pick your team, and every month you get great gear sent right to your doorstep. Makes for a great gift for any sports fan. Prices start at just $14.99. And if you go to FanEssentials.net and use the promo code GBBLive, you will get a tremendous deal on your first month's subscription. Plus, on top of all of that, if you use that GBB Live promo, if you go and you get that great discount on your subscription, plus you follow us on Twitter at GBB Live and direct message us the answer to the trivia question of the week, you will get a free month subscription to FanEssentials.net, a tremendous opportunity to get some great gear at a great, great value, and then get a free box on top of it. So once again, use GBB Live as the promo code over at FanEssentials.net. Get yourself subscribed to a great fan product. And then also at the end of this show, I will be asking a trivia question. Thanks to FanEssentials.net for sponsoring it. And if you get it right and your name is drawn, you will get an opportunity to get a one-month free subscription to FanEssentials.net. All you have to do is follow GBB Live on Twitter at GBB Live and direct message us the answer. Our new sponsor is TickIQ. Very thankful for them as well. And as I announced earlier in the show, they will be giving away, and we're very thankful for this with us here at GBB Live, they will be giving away two tickets to the San Antonio Spurs game in Memphis, Tennessee on March 28th at the FedEx Forum. We will be giving those tickets away next week. All right, the contest will be next week, so make sure you're following at GBB Live and checking out grizzlybearblues.com for all the details on that as we prepare to give away two tickets for the San Antonio Spurs game against the Memphis Grizzlies at the FedEx Forum on March 28th. Our final guest this evening is of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. He does the pregame show for them, for the Memphis Grizzlies. He is the producer of the Chris Vernon Show over at 92.9. He does a great job. I love having him on the show. Great talking basketball with him. And we've made the promise to each other to try to not cry. We're going to try to make it through this. Here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. John Rosen. I hope you didn't listen to any sad songs before you came on, Roser. Oh, man. It didn't work. We already broke it.
I did not.
We already broke our pledge to each other.
I did not listen to any sad songs. I will say, you know, because I have a little insight here. I had to hit up Joe and ask for the number to call in again because I didn't think I was going to be home because I had to run to the grocery store because it's going to rain for like 7 days straight in Memphis and it's flooding everywhere. I thought the grocery store would be just like maniacs everywhere. But it wasn't that bad. I was in and out in like 25 minutes. So I am talking to you now from my car, parked right outside the front of my house. And the reason I am doing this in my car is because we have a one-year-old puppy, a one-year-old dog at the house that who lives with us. And a one-year-old dog needs constant attention and is always crying and yelping and barking about something. And so I actually have peace and quiet in my car.
Fair enough. As a father of a six-month-old human puppy, a baby, I understand the crying frustrations as you record a podcast, but it's kind of hard to yell down to your wife, hey, I'm trying to record a podcast up here, as she deals with your child. So thankfully, she's behaving at the moment.
You can yell at dogs. Yeah, you can yell at dogs, too. Yelling at dogs is acceptable. Like, he peed in his cage. I was going for 25 minutes, and he peed in his cage. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was up for 25 minutes when you peed in your cage. The dog's
that's
a jerk sometimes.
You know what? Dogs can be jerks. I agree with that completely. And my wife won't let me get a dog, and that's probably the reason why. But, you know, you do what you can, and your puppy is probably just feeling the way the rest of us do and is pretty sad about the current state of the Memphis Grizzlies. And speaking of that, Roser, before I get your take on the Mario Chalmers situation, our Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day this week was one that, you know, I thought would get some interesting responses, and it sure did. The question was, Roser, I don't know if you saw it, in five words or less, how would you describe the current state of the Grizzlies? I post that on our Facebook page as well as our Twitter page, and I got some good responses. First from our own producer, Jonah Jordan, who also writes on the Memphis Tigers, @_JonahJordan, says, broken like Humpty Dumpty. Boz, @TheOfficialBoz, says basketball gods don't like us. Russell Smith @BoatsmanSnaps13 says hospital smells, disinfectant, and laminin. JJ Baker @JJ_P_Baker says bruised, broken, busted, still breathing, which is positive. Matt Neely says, again, I'm quoting here on my family-friendly show, Schitt's Creek, no paddle. Ryan Glover, former guest of the show, he writes for BlueWorldOrder.com and does a podcast for them, says basketball gods hate the Grizz. One word answer here from Tiger John M, that Tigers fan. He just says, welp. Amy @MamaHellcat says everything is terrible. Also, alternately, that escalated quickly. And then, you know, I also posted the question on Facebook, and a couple of the comments that we got. We are the Memphis Grizzlies, said with pride by Rhonda Quester. Donna Allen said, God help us heal, believe. Greg Brantley says a spectacular train wreck, and Martha Grilly says still grit and grind. So thanks to everybody for chiming in with your comments and tweets. And I'm surprised by the positivity, Roser. Maybe I shouldn't be, considering all that this team has been through and the fans still, you know, the hashtag Belief Memphis thing, the growl towels, how it all began. That's not a cliche. That's not a trend. That is something that a lot of fans feel, and rightfully so, given the character of this team. But especially after the news about Mario Chalmers, how are you feeling about the current state of the Memphis Grizzlies?
I would say, screw it, let's drink whiskey.
Whiskey, forget the Pepto-Bismol, just go straight to whiskey.
Well, I said this on the show today that our power went out at the house, so I couldn't watch the game at the house, so me and some friends, we had to go to a bar and watch it. And I was feeling like I wasn't drinking, wasn't planning on drinking, wasn't going to drink anything, just to sit there, watch the game. I had a funny thing, I ordered a sausage and cheese plate, so I was just going to eat a sausage and cheese plate as a little appetizer, and then I may have ordered like a chicken sandwich or something. But split the sausage and cheese plate up and everything, and then the Mario Chalmers injury happened, and I was okay for like a minute or so, I was all right, and then, you know, Lance Stephenson decides, like, there are not four other players on the court, and Lance decides to take over the game right then and there. Everything falls apart, and I said, screw it, I'm going to drink whiskey. So I ordered a shot of whiskey, so that drove me to drink last night. I had not planned on drinking. I didn't drink the entire – I got there before the game. I didn't drink before the game. I didn't drink at all in the first half, and I hadn't drank in the second half until Chalmers got hurt, and then Lance Stephenson decided to take over the game, and that's when I was like, oh, screw it. Let's drink whiskey.
And that is an underrated moment. You're exactly right, Rose, because obviously everybody focuses on the Chalmers injury. I'm sure that was deflating for the team. Another guy down, and as I said earlier on the show, you could argue the most consistent player of the entire season for the Memphis Grizzlies, Mario Chalmers, goes down. But it's underrated. Lance did kind of go into ISO Lance mode, and that certainly didn't help matters. So that would definitely be, well, you know, if I had had alcohol available, I probably would have joined you.
Yeah, they were rattled. You know, they were rattled when the Rio injury happened. And that was clear to tell. Like, that was clear to see. Like, it was really like, when we went down, you can see the team being like, are you kidding me? Like, for real? Like, I mean, why is this happening to us? And they were rattled. They were just, you know, they were shook a little bit, and it, you know, spilled over. By the end of the third quarter, the game was just, it was over.
And unfortunately, it kind of feels like there's a cloud of doom hovering over this team. But one of the silver linings, Roser, in that dark cloud is the play of Jamichael Green. And, you know, I had an opportunity to be on, you know, Jeff Calkins' show last week, and that was pretty fun. Obviously, we've had Jeff on our show in the past, so it was cool to be on his. And the first thing Jeff says on his program as he introduces me is how much I loved Jeff Green, which I really appreciated. But, you know, I guess I earned that reputation. Yeah, fair enough. So as much as I love Jeff Green, I think I'm officially ready to, you know, renounce my Jeff Green love and embrace a new Green, and that would be Jamichael. He's officially my favorite Green. This is a big moment for me, Roser, because of the fact, you know, my Jeff Green love was pretty strong, but watching Jamichael Green play, it really is, you know, it's like a grit and grind 2.0. And I listened to Chris Vernon and you guys, and I listened to your show this week, and I heard Chris talk about, you know, the idea that grit and grind is a mentality. It's a way of carrying yourself. And I agree with that completely. And I think Jamichael Green is another embodiment of that. This is a guy who legitimately goes out and plays his ass off every single night. You can tell through the way that he plays and carries himself that he's legitimately excited just to be playing NBA basketball. He's not a jaded guy who play, you know, points at somebody as they drive the lane like a Dwight Howard. You know, Jamichael Green would have chased that dude down and tried to block the shot. He's that kind of player, and he really has shined in the darkness that has been the injury issues for the Grizzlies.
No, this is absolutely true. Jamichael Green should have been your favorite Green to begin with on the team from the start of the season on. He just should have been your favorite. And I know Chris Harrington pointed out today when he was on our show, he said, I mean, what you've seen from Jamichael Green lately just further proves the point. Like, there wasn't a ton of need for Ryan Hollins. There was no reason Jamichael Green, when, you know, Mark went down or, you know, we had injuries, whoever it was, we've had so many freaking injuries this year. But, like, there was no need for Ryan Hollins. Like, Jamichael Green should have been getting those minutes. There was no reason for him to ever fall out of the rotation. He consistently should have been getting rotation minutes. And I'll take it one second. He's better than Jeff Green. Jamichael Green's better than Jeff Green. Just like Lance Stevenson's better than Jeff Green. But Jamichael, no. I mean, you're seeing things from him now. And I can say all this stuff now because I was not allowed to say it at the time. Also being a Grizzlies employee, doing post game for them, I cannot sit here and say I cannot trash Jeff Green. I obviously cannot do that. But I kind of can now, and I don't think he's the kind of player that helps you win big time games. I just don't think he's that guy. I don't think you win with that guy in the playoffs playing big minutes for you. You will not matter come playoff time if that guy is playing big minutes in your lineup. You're going to go out. You're going to lose. But anyways, on Jamichael, he's been getting the minutes. He's making the most of his opportunity. He's on a cheap contract. He's a guy who came from the D League. I mean, he's had to work for everything he's gotten in this league. He has had to work for everything. And he's one of the best guys to talk to in the locker room because he is just smiling from ear to ear. It was after the what game was it? Where recently, it's in the last, like, six games. Like, he scored 15 points, and it was his career high. And I can't remember. Who was it against? Who did he score the 15 against? Was it the
I can look it up real quick. I have his numbers in front of me.
Yeah, who did he – because he scored 15, set his career high, and then I think he set his new career high was 16, and then he set his new career high was 17, or set his career high at 15 and 17, and then scored 16 against Cleveland on Monday. but it was, he scored 15 against him, and it was at home. I'm trying to remember, I cannot remember who we were playing that night. Maybe Utah?
Scored 15 at home, it was Sacramento. Scored 15 at home against Sacramento, and shout out to Basketball Reference, I've got them pulled up. And then he had 17 against Phoenix, 16 at Cleveland, 17 at Boston.
Right. Okay. So it was the Sacramento game, and after the game, media started crowding around his locker, and he just was like, he was almost fully dressed, like the first one to be fully dressed, and he like got up and he just started to walk back towards the showers, and he like turned around and looked and like noticed, and I guess somebody in the media was like, "Hey, it's Michael, can we talk to you?" And he looked and like noticed all the media people there. He's like, "Y'all want to talk to me?" Like, yeah. And he's like, "All right, I'll be back in a sec." And like, he was sitting there talking. He's like, "Man, I am so blessed. Like, I am so blessed to be like." So he's not a guy, he doesn't take it for granted that he's in this position. And you can clearly see it. Zach Randolph goes down. Zach hadn't been able to play. I mean, he's put up 16 and 17 these last two games, but even before that, he's getting consistent rotation minutes now, and you're starting to see it all pay off. It is interesting how that works when you give young guys minutes eventually down the line, how it can pay off. And some of the things that I've noticed from him recently, his rebounding, particularly his offensive rebounding. He had a couple last night before everything fell apart in Boston in that first half, a couple of really good box outs and really good offensive rebounds. He's consistently – when a shot goes up, he goes to that rim looking to get a tip, looking to dunk it right back in. You know, if it misses, he's looking to try to grab it off the rim and dunk it back. We saw that off the Vince Carter mystery in the Cleveland game. We've seen it several other times. He's had some putback dunks this season. I think the other big thing for his game, you see how he can stretch the floor at times, and that's going to be a work in progress to get even better at the three-point shot to where he can take more, to where he can – like, he's been a good three-point shooter this season, but he hadn't taken a lot of them. And that's going to be another step in his game to where he can take more of them. Maybe he could take two a game for you, and he'd be able to knock down 36, 37, 38% of them eventually. But the one thing I've noticed lately that he's been able to do, he knocks down that mid-range jumper consistently. And we even saw in Cleveland, he caught one from, I think, the right free throw line, extended maybe the right free throw line, right elbow, and he pump faked it and then took one dribble, stepped back, and then went up and made it. If that's something he can get consistent with and he can really learn how to put the ball on the floor and then pull up and shoot it, that's going to be another part of his game. And you can tell by how he works, his game will continue to evolve. I don't think what we're getting from Jermichael Green now is everything that we can get from him. I think he could consistently be a 16, 17, and 10 guy down the line. I think he's got that kind of talent. Now, whether he puts it all together and is given the opportunity to do so, that's a totally different story. But I think right now he's getting that opportunity, and I think he will continue to get, clearly because of the injuries, he will continue to get that opportunity the rest of the season, and hopefully going into training camp next year. And Coach Yeager raved about him in training camp this season before the year started. Just because of how hard he works, he has another good training camp. He's on a cheap contract. And after next year, his contract's up and Zach Randolph's contract's up. Who knows what happens there. But if Jermichael Green continues to develop, you may have your starting power forward for the future. And, oh, yeah, he's a guy who's trying to develop a three-point shot. I see before the games he works on it all the time, especially those quarters.
That's fascinating. I think at the very least, Roser, I agree. He is at the bare minimum the fourth best big on a very, 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 very good basketball team, which is what the Memphis Grizzlies are when they're healthy. I think you can certainly make the argument now he's the third best big on a very good team without Gasol. Like you said, he should have played before Hollins and all that jazz, Brandon Wright being out. But now he is showing that he can kind of shoulder that load in terms of carrying those minutes, in terms of being a double-double guy. You know, the undersized issue isn't necessarily an issue when you're able to play with leverage, when you're able to play with length, and when you're able to play with effort. And that's the main thing with him. He just plays his tail off.
He does. I mean, you see him. I mean, you go back to the Cleveland game Monday night, which, I mean, has there ever been like a more 180 scenario that has ever happened in Grizzlies history?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier on the show. It's been a pretty crazy 72 hours or so.
No, but you go to that game in Cleveland, and he asked out at one point, I think, late in the third quarter. He held his hand up to Coach Yeager, like, And Pete Brannick and Brevin Knight Conner, they're like, and Jermichael's gas. Like, he needs a breather. He needs to come out. And a play happened. The Grizzlies shot and it missed. He darted towards the basket trying to get the rebound. He missed it. Cleveland was, like, running out. And he raced right back down the court as fast as he could, got down to get defensive position. And it's just like that kind of stuff. Like, he's gassed, but he's still, until I come out of the game, I'm giving you everything I have. And I think Coach Yeager sees that with him. And I think you've heard the comments from him recently, too. Jermichael's in the rotation. He's in there. And I think if Zach was playing these last couple games, and if Mark was still playing, too, Jermichael Green had earned a spot in the rotation, and Jermichael would be in the rotation.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Our guest at this time is good friend of the program, Mr. John Roser, producer of the Chris Vernon Show on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Also does the pregame and postgame work for the Memphis Grizzlies over at 92.9 ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, if you don't already do so, @John_Roser. And Roser, we had a great series of articles go up on the site this week, kind of shifting gears a little bit here away from Jermichael Green, who, just one more note on him before we move on. In that Cleveland game, as you mentioned, he had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, you can't ask for much more from a guy than that. But as you look ahead to guys that you should be theoretically asking more from and that were having underachieving seasons even before the injuries, especially the big man, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, our own Matt Ardlicka and Andrew Ford, two of our very best over at GBB, had a series of conversations about these guys all week, who they would prefer as replacements, what they would do with Mark coming off of his foot injury, what they would pay Mike Conley. I would highly recommend it if folks haven't gotten a chance to read it, but I just wanted to get your perspective, especially with Gasol's injury, especially with Mike Conley's status being up in the air. You know, some people say it might be a couple of games for him to be out, reevaluated after 3 to 5 days. With the last report that I saw, there might have been something more recently as we've recorded the show. Some people say he might be out a month. You know, it's still up in the air with Mike. How do you look at Mike Conley and Marc Gasol moving forward for this team?
Well, Gasol, I would tell you, I heard Jeff Calkins talk about it on his show this morning, that the Spanish national coach came out and said, like, he's hopeful that Mark will be able and be ready to go by the Olympics. That scares the crap out of me. No, because he's passionate about playing for his country, and if his Spanish national coach is encouraging him to be ready to go for the Olympics, that is scary. And if I'm Robert Parra, I mean, look, you can't just tell Mark Gasol directly, Mark, you can't play. We are not allowing you to play. We are not allowing, you are not playing. Like, you can't do that to him, because then you're just going to make him really angry. And Gasol has a lot of pride in where he's from and playing for that country. And all those guys take a ton of pride in it. But that scares the crap out of me going forward, that he may actually try to play in the Olympics. It's tough to say, no, Mark, you can't play in the Olympics. But he did say after last summer he vowed never to – he said he wasn't going to not play in the summer ever again. Like, it got him ready for the NBA season. But with this kind of injury and being a seven-footer, that is very scary. Look, Mark's – you know, I graduated high school the same year Mark did. I watched Mark play in high school. I was a senior. He was a senior. I was at Christian Brothers. He was at Lausanne. You know, I've watched him play since then. I mean, so he's 31 years old now. You had to max him out because that's what you had to max him. If you didn't do it, somebody else was going to do it. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way the NBA is now. It's the way it goes with Conley, too. Like, you're going to have to pay him a ton of money because if you don't, somebody else is going to. And what's your backup plan? Especially in the Western Conference when you are surrounded with great point guards, whether it's Damian Lillard or, I mean, you name them, they all have them. Steph Curry. Who else
Chris
is
Paul.
Top of the Western Conference? Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard. And you've got even other guys like Phoenix has Eric Bledsoe. He's injured right now, but they've got Eric Bledsoe. D'Angelo Russell has started to play better for the Lakers, so you know eventually he's going to improve and improve and improve. Now Sacramento's got Rajon Rondo. New Orleans has Drew Holiday. I mean, there are just a lot of really good players. You need one in the Western Conference. Hell, you need one in the NBA now. Like most teams have a good point guard. Most teams have a legitimate good point guard on them now. So it's just what it is. Like, you're going to have to pay him. Does it worry me with Conley that he's got the foot and ankle issues all the time and the Achilles issues? Yeah, it does. But it doesn't really matter. If you don't pay him, somebody's going to, and there's nobody else out there for you to get. The Grizzlies are not going to go sign a free agent point guard that is better than Mike Conley right now. They're not going to go draft a point guard who is better than Mike Conley right now. And they're not going to go draft a point guard who is better than Mike Conley next year, 2 years from now. And they're not going to go sign a point guard this offseason who can step in and do the exact same things and be as good as Mike Conley is for you. That's just not going to happen. So it is what it is. You got to roll with it. You're going to have to pay them. And you had to do the same thing with Marc Gasol, too.
You're exactly right. And something that fans struggle to understand sometimes, and this is something that I have learned from talking to folks like you and just my experience and blogging, you can sit around all day and say that somebody's worth this X amount of dollars. Like, the fact that Jeff Green could very possibly make $13, $14, $15 million in the open market coming up is insane. But if somebody's willing to pay him that, that is what he is worth. And that is exactly how that worth is determined in the NBA and in professional sports in general. I mean, look at the deal that Brock Osweiler just signed with the Houston Texans. That dude threw 6 interceptions and 10 touchdowns in the games he played, and he just made a 4-year, $72 million contract. You are worth
absolutely
what somebody is willing to pay you, and somebody, like you said, absolutely right, someone's going to be willing to pay that money to Mike Conley. It would be nice to have a backup plan, which kind of hurts for Mario Chalmers being out. But whatever your plan B or C is, I mean, Conley has to be plan A.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. Conley is plan A. I mean, he always has been. And Chris Wallace has said that from the beginning. Mike, go, yeah, we're going to re-sign Mike Conley. Mike Conley has always been plan A for Chris Wallace. And so I suspect Chris Wallace, whenever he's been the Grizzly GM, and he's said it before, but we have not. When I have said we're going to keep someone, we've kept them. When I've said we're going to keep Zach Randolph, we've kept Zach Randolph. When I said we're going to keep Marc Gasol, we have kept Marc Gasol. When they kept Tony Allen too. Now, obviously, Jason Levy was in charge with those things, but any of the free agents that they've had, they have kept them. That they have wanted to keep, they have publicly made it publicly known they want to keep them. They have kept them. So that's why when people ask me about, well, why don't we just, this was obviously before the Chalmers injury, why don't we just, Rio seems very good too, like, and he won't cost as much as Conley, why don't we just, where come you go and just put more in Chalmers? I'm like, no, look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that's what you think they should do. They're not going to do it. Like, Chris Wallace has been said, this, they are hell-bent on re-signing Mike Conley. They're going to re-sign Mike Conley. So whatever your opinions are of Mike Conley, maybe he's not good enough and he's not going to be a good enough point guard to ever get us over the hump and win a championship or go back to the Western Conference Finals, that's fine if that's your opinion. You don't have to voice it to me because it doesn't matter. They're going to keep the guy.
They're going to keep the guy. You're exactly right. I don't see them, especially now, even with, I agree with you, you hear Wallace saying something, it's more than likely what's going to happen, and it makes sense logically, but especially with the Chalmers injury, there's no doubt now that Mike Conley will be back in that role, as well he should be. We're wrapping up here with John Roser, producer of the Chris Vernon Show on 92.9 FM ESPN in Memphis, also does great pregame and postgame work for 92.9 FM ESPN. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, @John_Roser. Roser, we're going to get you out of here on this. The week ahead is rough for the Grizzlies, at least between now and our next show on Tuesday night, a little bit earlier next week. 3 games between now and then. They have the New Orleans Pelicans for wrestling night, Friday night, which, you know, if a community ever needed a wrestling night, it's the Memphis Grizzlies fan base. That's going to be awesome, even with all of the doom and gloom that fans are feeling. That's just an awesome promotional night. Got to make sure I find a way to get me a luchador or a grizzador mask. As a wrestling fan myself. Then they have a back-to-back with Atlanta on Saturday night, so they're going to Atlanta to play the Hawks, and then they have Houston at Houston on Monday. So how in the world do the Memphis Grizzlies, as the schedule gets tougher, how do they sustain and not sink below, you know, the 6th or 7th seed in the Western Conference? Can they even do that?
I was going to go to Atlanta. I had plans to go to Atlanta on Saturday, but after the Chalmers injury, I'm just like, I'm not driving down there. I'm not making
I can't blame
a 6-hour drive to go watch the Grizzlies get destroyed by the Atlanta Hawks on the second night of a back-to-back, because that's what I think is probably going to happen. I think the best bet on this three-game trip is probably one, on this three, these next three is 1-2. Hopefully you can win tomorrow night against New Orleans, and that's a big if you got to get Zach Randolph back, because Zach Randolph can bully Anthony Davis and get physical with him, and that does bother him. That does bother Anthony Davis. So I think that's a big key there, getting physical with Anthony. Getting Zach Randolph back and Zach being able to be physical with Anthony Davis, that'll be a huge key if you can get that wearable pulling. I don't think you're winning Saturday in Atlanta on the second out of a back-to-back, and I don't think you're going to win Monday in Houston with the Rockets team desperate, you know, chasing the playoff spot, too. What do they have to do to look? I mean,
how can
it's
they
probably
stay in the
five?
Can they?
Now they can help. Mike Conley's injury is not as bad as we think, and he can actually come back maybe sometime late next week. I think that would help you, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to clearly be out an additional 10 days at least. So maybe you get Conley back. If you can get Conley back before the end of March, like around, so what is today, the 10th? If you can get Conley back around like the 22nd, 23rd, maybe then, because, I mean, your last stretch in March and April is, I mean, your last 10 games are just brutal, brutal. Like, if you don't have Mike Conley for those games, you very well may go 0-10 in your final 10 games. Like, it could happen. Because you've got San Antonio twice, you've got Golden State twice, you've got the Clippers once, you've got Chicago, you're at Orlando, and you've got Toronto, and you're at Dallas. Like, it's brutal, brutal in the last 10 games of the schedule. It is tough. So, you're going to need Conley back for those. That I think can be Conley and get Birdman, a.k.a. Grizzilla. Get those two guys back, and if you get them back sooner rather than later, that's how you can salvage the five seed. Otherwise, I think you're probably looking at 7 or 8. And then the only way they stay at 5, say Conley's out for a couple of weeks and Conley can't come back till April. The way you stay in the 5 seed is Breontae Weber is awesome. Turns out to be really, really good. Which,
everybody,
I mean,
else has been wrong this whole time.
You know more about him than I do. You live in that area. You live up there in Virginia.
He's very good before his knee injury. I mean, he's a guy who, if he can come in and, you know, especially with Dave running some more Princeton offense sets, he could theoretically work. He could.
He can cut, he can defend. That's a big thing. That's why I think they settled in on him. Was because he is tough as nails. The report on him, he is tough as nails, and he is a fantastic defender. So he fits this team and the guys that are on this team. And so we'll see. You know, if he can turn out to be something, you know, good, then let's go with it. Now, they're also going to bring in a big man, too, Wave Chalmers. Wave Chalmers so they can get somebody in tomorrow night. They can get a point guard in tomorrow night. You can have somebody ready to go tomorrow night, which I would assume would be Breontae Weber. They'll have him ready to go tomorrow night, I would imagine. Otherwise, you're not looking at having – you were looking at going with Lance Stephenson as your starting point guard tomorrow night and not being able to add Weber until Saturday. But I think because you waived Chalmers, you can bring – so you can open to a roster spot immediately and you can bring somebody in tomorrow night to play to be point guard against New Orleans. So – you know, man, it's not fun. It's not going to be easy. It's really going to be tough to watch at times. You know, I think another hope, too, is that Lance learns the plays, because Lance is still going to have to play point guard. He's going to have to play point guard at times. Lance learns the plays and learns to actually run the offense, because that was kind of the deal with Chalmers, why you really had a hard time taking him out in Cleveland, is that he's the only guy who could get them into their sets and get them into their offense. And God bless him, Vince Carter tried last night at times. He tried to get them in their sets and get them in their offense. But, you know, it's just tougher. He's not a point guard, and he's playing out of position. And it's tough to know where, when you're playing out of position, where you're supposed to be at all times. They're also going to bring in another big man. I know Jeff Ayers has been speculated, and I'd be fine with that. He's played on the championship roster in San Antonio. He knows how to play within an offense, can move the ball. He can knock down some shots on the perimeter. He can hit the mid-range game a little bit. And he's an experienced veteran guy who's been in the NBA before, so I'd have no problem with that, too. And I think he'd come in here with a good attitude, trying to help you win, because he comes from that San Antonio Spurs way, which is just all about winning and sacrifice yourself for the team.
Good roster fits. And I do think it's nice to see, you know, obviously Ayers being a little bit different, but whether it's a Weber or somebody like that, they're not trying to go out and sign, you know, some splashy guy coming back from China. They're not trying to sign, you know, some like a Tony Roten who would have possibly been a mistake from the New York Knicks or something like that. They're bringing in guys, like you said, who they know will fit the mentality of the roster, guys that will fit what they're trying to get done and will be complementary. Because you're not finding anybody out on the street right now who is going to save you. You want somebody who can help eat minutes, not be a detriment to what you're trying to do with the guys that have been there all year. And I think that these are going to be good additions. I'm with you on that, Roser, and I am so thankful, as always, for you joining me.
We got one last thing. Coming out of that Spurs system, well, you know there's another guy on this roster who came from that Spurs system. Jermichael Green was with the Austin Spurs in the D-League. So, I mean, he knew that. And they're running the same stuff in the with that D-League team that they are in San Antonio, you know, clearly with not as good players, but because they don't have Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge and Tim Duncan in the D-League. But, you know, they're running some of the same stuff. Right, you're getting a guy that's familiar with that system and knows what it's about. So you got that in Jermichael Green, and you hope it's the same way with Jeff Ayers when you get him.
Bringing it full circle. That's why you're a professional at this, Mr. Roser. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
It depends on when you catch me during the week if I'm a professional.
Well, I caught you at a good time, and we normally do here at Grizzly Blues Live.
I was not acting like a professional when that Chalmers injury happened last night. I was not acting like a professional. I don't think any of us were.
You were off the clock, so that's quite all right. Yeah. We were all pretty disappointed.
Absolutely.
Roser, thank you so much, buddy. Always good talking with you. We'll have you on again soon.
You got it, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Anytime.
All right. Thank you very much, Roser. That was, once again, ladies and gentlemen, John Roser of 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis, one of my favorite guests. Love having him on. Check out the pre- and post-game coverage that he does for 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis, and also, of course, check him out with Mr. Chris Vernon on the Chris Vernon Show over at 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis. We're wrapping up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax, and this show has been pretty depressing at times. Also, you know, talking about the positivity of the Cleveland game, that was good. This week has really been rough, and it really tests a fan base when your emotions kind of run that, you know, that amazing random spectrum of where you are emotionally. Like, you're angry and you're sad and you're happy and you're frustrated and you're furious and you're ecstatic and there's ecstasy and there's downright downtrodden feelings. It's across the board. It really is. And these Memphis Grizzlies are going to be fascinating to watch. It's going to be kind of like watching something burn or melt or a car crash. Unfortunately, you don't want to make light of a car crash, but this team is going to be, I don't think anybody who says they know what they're going to get out of this team the rest of the way sitting here today is full of it. My 7-11 prediction is clearly a gut feeling. That's just from looking at the schedule, being a little bit optimistic. I think Roser's talking about 0-10 at the end of the schedule. That's very possible. I think that Isaac talking about, you know, 6-12, that's possible. Anything is possible right now. It's going to be interesting to see how they fill out the roster. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out. Before we wrap up the show, I again want to give a shout-out to our new sponsor, TickIQ. We're excited for our next episode on March 15th. We are going to be giving away or talking about how you can be involved in the giveaway for a pair of tickets to the March 28th San Antonio Spurs versus Memphis Grizzlies game in Memphis, Tennessee at the FedEx Forum. We'll be giving you the details on how to get those tickets for yourself next week. It will involve the Twitter machine over at GBB Live. I can give you that hint, so if you want to follow us right now, to get yourself ready for next week, that would be a great idea. Again, thanks to TickIQ for being a great sponsor of our show, a great ticket service, and we'll be giving away two tickets to the Grizzlies game against the San Antonio Spurs on March 28th. That contest will begin next week. And I also want to give a shout-out once again to FanEssentials.net. Sign up for a FanEssentials.net membership using the GBB Live promo code, and you get a discount on your membership. Make sure you're going and subscribing to a great service over at FanEssentials.net using the promo code GBBLive. You also, right now, can get yourself a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful one-month subscription to FanEssentials.net. You can get a free box sent to your door just by answering this upcoming question. Follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. Direct message the response to us. Get it right. You'll be entered into the drawing for Tuesday night. We will be giving away that box. We haven't had a correct response yet, so we could really, you know, maybe brush up on our Google game here. And with this particular question, if you've been paying attention to the program, you won't even need the Google machine. So again, here is the question from Fan Essentials, or for Fan Essentials Trivia this week. This is for a one-month free subscription to FanEssentials.net. What team did Jamichael Green make his NBA debut with? Again, what team did Jamichael Green make his NBA debut with? Direct message that response on Twitter at GBB Live. Send it into our DMs and get it right. Be entered into a drawing for a free one-month subscription. Once again, the question, what team did Jamichael Green make his NBA debut with? Next week, we will be on the air March 15th, 8 p.m. Central Time, so it'll be a 9 p.m. Eastern Time live recording. The team plays their last Thursday night game of the season next week, so we bump the show to Tuesday night. We'll do a one-hour late edition. We're excited about our guest next week, Cassidy Hubberth of ESPN. She did a great job in the pregame show for the Grizzlies-Celtics game, so if you watch the pregame program, you've seen Cassidy. You've certainly seen her on her other NBA shows that she does on ESPN. We're really, really, really looking forward to having her on GBB Live next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday, excuse me, at 8 p.m. Central Time. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on iTunes as well as Blog Talk Radio. Never miss another episode. Make sure you're answering that trivia question by Friday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. It's a 24-hour window. You can't just send in the response Sunday. It has to be within the first 24 hours of the show being recorded, so make sure you're shooting us that direct message response. Make sure you're listening both for Cassidy as our guest, plus your opportunity for two tickets to the San Antonio Spurs game against the Grizzlies on March 28th. Lots of big things happening here at Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, FanEssentials.net and TickIQ. Thank you to our guests this evening, Matt Bishop, Isaac Simpson, and John Roser. And most importantly, thanks to you for listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live, this and every time that we grace the Blog Talk Radio airwaves. Try to stay positive, Grizz Nation. It has been a rough week, but remember the highest of highs that came with that Cleveland Cavaliers win. Remember that this team will eventually find some semblance of health, and if they can hold on to that 5 seed and they get a matchup with the Los Angeles Clippers, all bets are off. That series is always up for grabs. The Clippers certainly more talented, I think it's safe to say at this point, but the Grizzlies showed in their game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, if you have heart and you're willing to grit and grind a little bit, you can knock off just about anybody on any given night. Looking forward to being back on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves Tuesday night, Grizz Nation. Until then, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.